Welcome to the Dopamine Pursuit Podcast, a podcast for ambitious people in the pursuit to hit new and extraordinary levels in life. A space where we learn to break our negative addictions and our negative patterns and pursue healthier habits and healthy doses of dopamine while living a more purposeful life. We are here to uncover practical strategies, inspiring stories, and expert insights that will empower you to pursue your dreams and make them a reality. We are talking all things from business, leadership, marketing, health, investments, and relationships. So you'll want to grab your coffee and get comfortable as we push ourselves to grow by being uncomfortable. This is the Dopamine Pursuit Podcast, episode 4, my friends. Welcome. Today, we are talking about resiliency. So we just talked about all of the things that stop us, that hold us back. And we talked really in depth about our why. Our why is going to be our main driver of what keeps us going. But I want to also dive into the resiliency of when life hits us in the face. So many times I see new business owners, new entrepreneurs, new influencers, new people amongst many industries get punched in the face for the first time by their business as their business takes the first dip and they think, all hell has broken loose. They think it's never going to come back. It's really hard for them to get past that first really big loss. Part of being a business owner and pretty much with anything in life, there's always going to be ebbs and flows. Same thing for relationships. There's going to be dips. There's going to be peaks. There's going to be valleys. But in order for us to meet our maximum potential in our endeavor within ourselves, we must understand those dips and valleys are going to be there. Those ebbs and flows are going to be there. And we have to have clarity on how to be resilient through those times. This is your message for resilience. How do we keep going when we feel defeated? When it's the end of the month and we just missed our big goal, or maybe it's the end of the quarter, how do we curb those negative thoughts? How do we get through the times where our business was absolutely booming and then all of a sudden we have an extremely slow month or a ton of people leave and they go to another company? We live in the world of distraction. We live in the world of a million different options and opportunities. So how do we stay focused and resilient in the goal that we set in place from the get-go? In today's episode, I'm going to give you the path of how we can walk through the moments of disappointment when things don't go exactly our way. This episode is an episode that I want you to be able to refer back to anytime you are struggling in this type of situation, anytime you need a good kick in the ass or a reminder of how we can remain resilient, and also as a resource for your team as they experience the peaks and valleys for the first time as well. Think about the stock market. The stock market is always going to be up and down, but what does the stock market always do? It always is rising. And the same thing is going to be for our goals. As long as we remain consistent and as long as we put in place the tools to be resilient through the tough times that are inevitable to happen. Where I want to start with this episode is it is okay to grieve what you have lost or to grieve a situation where your business might have been at the tip of the top and then now it is just nowhere near where it used to be, or you just missed a goal. It's okay to take some time and to process that. But it's not okay when you get kicked down for you to stay down. I used to think that we don't have time to cry about it. We have to keep going. We have to push. We have to push. We have to push. And that's what leads out. I don't believe in real burnout, but that's what leads to the burnout mindset. What I want to suggest is if you just have experienced a big loss, or if you're in the middle of a loss, or there's a loss in the future, take some time to grieve. Go out, set a timer, go on an hour walk, a 30-minute walk, a two-hour walk. Whatever that timer is going to be, I want you to set a second timer with the exact same time. Let's say you're going to take a 2-hour walk. I want you to have a 2-hour timer immediately after. And in that 2-hour walk, I want you to think about what it is that just happened. How did we get here? And if it's not a walk, maybe you're going to meditate. Maybe you're just going to sit in silence and stare at the wall. whatever it is. We don't need to sit on the couch and watch trash TV. This is a justification a lot of people do, is where they will be like, I just need to decompress and turn my brain off. And they don't turn their brain off. They turn their brain and attention to trash. And then that does absolutely nothing to get them closer to their goals. But if you need to sit in silence, if you need to go for a walk, do that. Go by the water. That's always very helpful to me. I want you to also spend time in thinking about the progression of what led to that moment. Think about the moment when you were at the peak. What led to everything that got you to the peak? And then think about what led to everything that brought us back down to the valley. What brought us back down here? What our inputs were 60 to 90 days ago, and almost anything, is what's going to pay us out today. What we're doing today isn't going to pay us out for 60 to 90 days. That's what goes the same thing for fitness. It goes the same thing for business, relationships. It takes time to build trust. It takes consistency to build something real. And so thinking back to where you were, not just 30 days ago, but what you did 30 to 90 days prior to that, is going to really help you identify what you're going to need to do now to get back into the peak of your business or situation. Take that time, wallow, throw some iron around in the gym, whatever it is that you need to do to really get that energy out that things aren't how you want them to be right now. And then from there, we're gonna take that 2-hour timer or whatever it was, and we're going to get to work. We're going to take a pen to paper and we're going to identify all of the things that we just thought about when we were on that walk, when we were meditating, when we were just being silent with ourselves. And we're going to ask ourselves, so what did I start doing? What did I stop doing? And what do I need to continue doing? And we're going to look for the lessons that are seeking to emerge in the moments that we're back down in the valley. The valley is meant for us to collect lessons. That just makes our peak that much higher. Just like the stock market, it feels like every time we go back down to the valley, we're at the bottom of the bottom, but you're never at the bottom of the bottom, no matter how much you lose. It doesn't matter if every single person leaves your business. It doesn't matter if you've lost every single thing you have. No one can take away the experience that you learned in the process of creating whatever it was that you created. And you're coming into this new season with all of this experience, which is going to collectively get you to the next peak at a much more efficient rate. When we notice that we're in a moment that we need to be resilient, we have now taken the time to wallow. We then have taken the time to search for the lessons. We've done the activity of what have I stopped doing? What do I need to start doing? What do I continue to do? And then we are going to follow this protocol. So I'm going to give you 5 things to make sure that we are doing in order to stay resilient in our processes. So 1, you have to make sure you break negative thought cycles and shame cycles. It's very easy when we hit a valley that we want to feel bad for ourselves and to blame other people or to blame outside circumstances or blame ourselves. When we blame ourselves, we go into this shame cycle loop and then it's never ending because you can't ever move forward when you're in a shame cycle, because every step that you're moving forward, you start the thought pattern of, I wouldn't be in this situation if I would have just done this before. That's not what your path was designed to be. You're in this situation because you were designed to have this experience. That way you can better mentor, or you can better elevate in your future endeavors. When you find yourself in these negative thoughts and shame cycles, you have to stop it, catch it, and you have to rewrite it. Resilience is needed in all capacities: self, business, relationships, health. For me, one of the times that I needed to be most resilient is in a breakup back in 2021. I had a very hard breakup that I felt completely blindsided in. At this time, I remember just feeling so uninspired in business. The breakup was completely clouding my thought process, and I was just having a very hard time finding any inspiration to keep going. And I was living in this condo and I would just be looking into the water and I would just pray, please send me some inspiration to just keep me going. And I wasn't having like super deep, dark thoughts, by the way. I don't want to freak anyone out, but I was having thoughts that was just very stagnant. I did not want to do anything besides just stare into outer space. And what I had to do is every time I would find myself in this negative thought pattern or thinking about that person that I had broken up with and that loss and what was to come, I had to stop myself, catch it, and I had to transfer that thought into being inward. Every time I would catch myself in the negative thought process, I would stop and I would say, I love myself, I love myself, I love myself, I love myself, I love myself. And I would just keep repeating it over and over and over and over again until I would stand up and I would do something else. I love myself, I love myself, I love myself. And I would get up, I would get off the porch and I would go do something. And I love myself, I love myself, I love myself, I love myself to going, moving to the computer and taking action towards my business. I love myself, I love myself, I love myself, I'm going to go cook a meal. I love myself, I love myself, I'm going to go do the laundry. I would just keep saying it until I was sick of saying it and I was taking action into doing something else. So when you catch yourself in that negative loop and you're thinking, dang, if I only would have done this different in my business, then things wouldn't be this way. Stop that. I love myself. I love my business. I love my future. I love my future. I love my future. I love my future. I'm going to still go make that marketing email. Get out of the shame cycles and make sure you aren't in those negative thought cycles, because if we're in those, it's going to be extremely hard to move forward. And that's the whole point of the first activity, is allow yourself to wallow, allow yourself to grieve. And if you need to do that more than one day or more than 2 hours, set the alarm for 15 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, but make sure you're taking the lessons from it. And then you're matching whatever that alarm is with an identical alarm where you're doing nothing but taking those lessons and identifying how you're going to put those into action. So number one was break the negative thoughts and shame cycles. Number two, be in your villain era. This may be a little contradicting, it might sound like, to break the negative thought spirals, but hear me out. The mind will do anything to justify why you need to change your goals and to protect yourself from being a villain of the narrative. So if your business just crashed, or if your relationship just crashed, or if your health goals just crashed, whatever the case may be, it's very easy to blame other people. Like, let's start with business. Your business just crashed. It's easy to blame partners. It's easy to blame maybe you're working for a company and their resources. It's easy to blame your team. It's easy to blame your leader. But if you always remember that when you point the finger at others, there's three fingers pointing back at you, it's going to be a lot easier for you to take accountability. And when we take accountability, we're going to have a lot more clarity on what we can control. But the mind wants to protect us. The mind doesn't want us to always be accountable unless you have really done the work and have put in the work to be extremely self-aware. It's easier to blame other people. That way we can just change our goals, because it's not comfortable to lose. It's not comfortable to miss our goals. But if you decide to stand strong in your convictions of what you have set out to do, and you point the finger inwards always, you are the villain. And not in a negative way of, I didn't do this, I'm not good enough, but in the way of, I'm the villain, I am in control of how my story turns out. How can I rewrite this so it's a triumph? How can I take everything I learned from this previous situation and create a better scenario for me to win as we continue up to the next peak? There are so many options available to us for opportunities, workplaces, and relationships. There's dating apps up the yin yang. There's so many different options for us, but how do we continue to water our grass where we are instead of looking over and seeing if the grass is greener on the other side? The grass is always going to be greenest where we water it. And if you continue to take everything you learn, water your grass, point your finger inwards, your grass is going to grow. It's going to be the greenest grass of them all. But if you're hip-hoppity skip every time something doesn't go well, you're going to find yourself in a pattern of never actually developing anywhere, because you're not doing the hard things. You're not taking the lessons and putting it into one bucket and letting it consistently grow. It's like you're starting to invest in a new stock every single time that you hit poverty and skip, because you want to see if the grass is greener on the other side. Something that my mentor told me in 2016, when I first started my career with a solar company, is the cream will always rise to the top. If you stick it out in business, what you'll see is that the people around you, you will be shocked to see a year from now, so many different faces. Nothing ever stays the same in business. The one thing you can always guarantee is going to be change. So as people around you leave, leaders that you think would never have left, CEOs, VPs, directors, all kinds of people that you think would have never left, you stick it out and watch, they will fall off. And if you continue to stay consistent, if you continue to show up as if you are in the position ahead of where you currently are, you will always continue to rise. And that has always served me so well. Anytime I stick it out, it has been true. I've watched people that I would bet anything, they will be there until the end of time. And within a year, 2 years, 5 years, they're gone. When you stay in one opportunity, you take the lessons, when you become an expert in that field, every time you fail, that is a stepping stone into your expertise, because all of the lessons you're collecting, you don't become an expert without lessons, and you don't collect lessons without failing. So if you're just failing in one opportunity and then you go to another opportunity and then you fail, and so then you go to the next opportunity, you're never becoming an expert anywhere. When we put 10 toes down on the opportunities in front of us, on the relationships in front of us, and we do the work to water our own grass instead of looking around and letting other things distract us, and being strong and having conviction in what we set out to do, then we are always going to continue to rise, especially when we're looking at these three fingers and asking ourselves, what is it that I can do better at? How can I take all of these lessons and add it to my resume of expertise in this opportunity? You should be looking at these lessons every time you fail, miss the goal, every time you're down, every time you hit the valley, as this is going on my resume. This is going in my storybook for the time that I hit the stage in my opportunity and I get to tell the room full of people how I made it to the very top, because I went through all of this and I still overcame it. When do we feel the most emotions when we hear stories? It's when people tell us that they hit rock bottom and they pulled through. Think about it. Any story that has brought tears to your eyes, a lot of the times it's because they're telling us a story that is just extremely emotional and mind-boggling, that they were able to pull through something so hard and still come out on top. People come out on top when they keep going, when they persevere, when they're resilient. Number three, to keep you resilient, seeking significance, not just success. There is no true success without significance. There's a lot of unhappy, successful people out there. A lot of people with a lot of money, a lot of cars, a lot of things, and they're still unhappy. Significance is about others. What are you doing today to make the lives of others better? How can you remove the thought process of this is my bad day, this is my tough time, and thinking me, 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 and make it more significant and about others when you're going for the goal that you are going for? When we're thinking this is so hard, how am I going to keep going? You are making it about yourself. You are in your ego, and you have to get out of your ego and remember that what you are doing is so much bigger than what you're feeling in that moment. That's when we circle back to our why. We have to have that clarity of the direction that we're going, why we do what we do, why the goal is what it is. When we do that and we're thinking all of these positive things and we're remembering how we are doing what we're doing for a greater purpose, it becomes a trickle effect of impact. Even if you didn't have any results on the day towards the goal that you are going for, if you showed up and you made progress, that is significance, because you're doing something that is bigger than you. John Maxwell says, I've never met an unhappy, significant person. He says, if you give your life to adding value to other people, the return will be more rewarding for the value that it brings you. As soon as I realized that I wasn't selling anything and that this was a gift that I was sharing, that's when my business amplified. It removes the thought process of I need to get this account, I need to get this sale, I need this to happen, and it flips it to how can I be more diligent to impact and talk to even more people today? How can I be more diligent in helping others? When you are frustrated, when you're feeling low, when you're really deep into that ego, remember to come back to significance and ask yourself, who have I helped today? Who have I served today? Who can I make effort to help today? Because there's always going to be someone, and then you're going to want to get back into action to go find more people. And then that brings me to number four, find ways to get back into action now. So when we need to be resilient and we've gone through all of these things and we just kind of feel like, oh, why should I even keep going? It just feels like every time I make any progress, it's two steps forward, 10 steps back. Remember the view of the stock market. It's always going up. You have to get into action now. There's a very popular way that a lot of people follow, and it is the Mel Robbins method of 5-4-3-2-1. And she has a book, I think it's titled 5-4-3-2-1. And it's when you are laying in bed and you just don't want to get up, just say to yourself, 5-4-3-2-1, and you have to blast off and you just get up and you jump up. Or if there's something that you don't want to do, or if you need to get out of the car door, or if you need to make the phone call you don't want to make, you just say 5-4-3-2-1. It's a game with yourself. You just go. Tony Robbins has a very similar method, and he says, change your physiology and change your state. This one is what I really do and really focus on it. For me, it's just about changing my state. If I'm sitting in a desk chair for however many hours working on a report or whatever it is, and I don't want to do the next task that's at hand, I know that I need to change my physiology. And if I move my body and if I move the energy, I'm going to feel better. So change your physiology, change your state, where he blasts off, he stands up and goes into a power position. I'll do the power position sometimes. He also has recommendations of jumping around. I don't do a ton of that, but I will like shake my body. Sometimes I'll put on a song. I'll dance around. I'll move around. I'll go out on a walk. Walks are very helpful for me getting outside. I'll go stand out on my porch if I need to just get some fresh air. I'll do some stretching. Maybe you want to go to the gym. Whatever it is, you have to have a regimen of getting back into action now. And something simple, just shake your body out and boom, okay, I'm going to do this. And then what I do alongside of that is I will set a timer. This is extremely helpful for me, where I really don't want to do this, but I'm just going to do it for 25 minutes. And so I'll set the timer for 25 minutes. And guess what? By the time that the 25 minutes has come and that alarm goes off, I am in the zone with whatever I'm doing, and I'll reset that timer. Maybe I'll take a quick shake and then I'll reset that timer and I'll keep going. And that's very helpful for if there's a project like cleaning out my closet I need to do, and writing that I might be avoiding, whatever the case may be. Those timers and that change in my physiology, that will really help change my state of mind and get me back into that movement. Because it's very easy to stay stuck in the wallowing. You have to identify, I'm in the wallowing. It's okay. Not have shame to the wallowing. Once you realize you're in the wallowing, we never shame the wallowing. The wallowing is part of the process. The wallowing grows us. And that was something actually that took me a very long time to understand, because when I wallow, I would then have shame cycles of wallowing. Why am I wallowing? Why am I so upset about this? Why? And then that's that negative thought process. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. Action. So identifying where we're in the moments of resistance to resilience and immediately moving into action. And that action, when it comes to the tangibles of your business, start with something small. What's one of the things that you enjoy the most about your business? Is it creating content? Is it making the emails? Is it talking to people, communicating with people? What part of your business do you love the most? Is it going into the chat and the community? Whatever it is, but make sure it's an action item. It's not a consuming item where you're just going to go listen to the next podcast or watch the next training video and call that work. That's not going to be resiliency. That is not action, in my opinion. Action to me is something that is income producing. So actually getting into the meat and potatoes of whatever it is that you need to do to get up the staircase back up to the peak of your business. Number five, measuring your controllables instead of the outcomes. When we are setting up our business day and we're thinking to ourselves, I hope I get this many sales, or I hope that I talk to this many people, or I hope that I ace this presentation, or I hope that this many people sign up for whatever it is that I'm offering, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. You don't want to be setting yourself up for things that aren't within your control. All of those things could be luck of the draw of whether they happen or they don't. And if they do, great. You just had a fantastic day. And if they don't, then you just are down in the dumps. And I always tell people when they have wins in their business, and some people find me to be mean for this, but I'll say, you need to be like the Grinch. You have no heart for the wins. I'm sure it's great. I'm so happy for you that you just got that sale, that you just made that win. Cool. celebrate for 1 second, but then you got to turn back into Cold Stone Steve Austin, because that win can be taken away from you any second. That happiness can be taken away from you any second if your happiness is tied to outcomes. And if that person leaves the business or if that sale cancels, you need to be completely detached from the wins and more attached to what you can control. And what you can control is your outputs, which is how many hours you're working, how many interactions you're having, how you show up. Did you show up your most confident? How you improve every day? And this is something that really helps me, because I am a numbers nerd. I love anything that can show me data. If you aren't tracking your conversions and your interactions and the steps that it takes for you to hit your goals, you're doing yourself a disservice, because when you know your true conversions of how many people you have to interact with in order to get a sale, or how many people you have to talk to in order to collect someone on your email list, or whatever the case may be, if you don't know those conversions, you aren't getting real dopamine hits when you make progress, and you can't even really see what your progress is. You don't really know how many people you need to talk to in order for you to get to where you want to be, or how many things that you need to do in order to get to this place. Those dopamine hits and gamifying your business makes it so much more fun. Remember, dopamine is the pursuit of pleasure and reward. So you're getting dopamine in the pursuit of obtaining something that you want. Whatever your business or goal is, find the steps between A and B. What are all of the little steps that it requires for you to get from A to B? And when you track those steps instead of just the result of actually getting to B, you're able to see your progress, you're able to see your conversions, and then you're able to collect dopamine along the way within your controllables, and it makes your processes a lot more fun. When the process to getting back to that peak is fun, it's a lot easier to be resilient, because who doesn't want to have fun? Let me give you an example. Let's say that you are a brand influencer and you reach out to different brands in order to get a brand deal. And you know that if you reach out to 20 different brands, that is the conversion for you to get one brand deal. And you know this conversion because you've been tracking it. You've been writing it down. You've been taking note for how many people you have a app. I use the app Tally Counter to track my conversions. And you just keep track of how many it takes in order to get to where you want to be. So you know you want to have 20 conversations. Not everyone is going to answer their email that day. Not everyone is going to respond. Some people might not even see the email. So what's the conversion for how many people you need to send the email to in order to get 20 to start a conversation? Know every single conversion along the way. And then when you know that number, it makes it a lot easier for you to also identify where there's areas for you to improve. If you have to talk to a lot of people in order to close one brand deal, potentially maybe there is room to work on your pitch and edit what you are saying, or to edit your resume or your portfolio, and to better present the opportunity that you're presenting to others. But if you're just blindly sending out emails and waiting for people to respond, and people are only responding sometimes, it gets really easy to be discouraged, because you don't know what your actual numbers are. And you're now focused on the outcome of, I hope that these emails that I'm sending and I'm taking all of this time to research these brands, I hope that it's worth it. Whereas if you know your conversions, you know that it's worth it, because you only have to send X amount for you to have a result. And then you can also make it a game, because if I send out X and then I get this result, and I've gotten this result 3 times consistently by sending out X, then now let's make it a game and see what tweaks I can make to improve that in conversion. And let's beat this score. Here we go. Now we're collecting real trophies in real life, not collecting dopamine hits on fake trophies that get us absolutely nowhere. We're moving closer to our goal, collecting real trophies, because we just beat our score by making the tweaks and knowing how our conversions are going. Another example of our controllables is working the hours, but not just working the hours, being efficient with our time. So I can be a perfect example of this. I knew today I needed to film, and I kind of went about my morning like la-da-da. I did this, I did a little bit of that, I worked a little bit here, worked a little bit there. I took a shower, I slowly got ready, I did my makeup. And then I found myself asking if this was a day that I had to be somewhere at an exact time, This filming would have been done a long time ago, and I'm just taking this in slow motion, and that's unacceptable. I'm not being efficient with my time, and that's taking away from other aspects of this business. And that's something that's very easy for entrepreneurs to do. They tell themselves, later today, I'm going to film this, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that for my business. And then they kind of just do all of the other things on their to-do list, and they aren't on a strict time schedule. I am someone that works best when I have time blocks. So two apps that I use when I am on my best days are the apps Structured and the apps Time Block. And it puts me in these timers that I have X amount of time to, I do everything from drive time to get ready to the time I spend writing to the time I spend in this business and the time I spend in that business to fitness. Everything is blocked out throughout my day, and it keeps me so disciplined and locked in to what I have to do, because I'm not getting as distracted because I know I only have 25 minutes to complete this. I only have 30 minutes to get ready, and I need to be out the door and gone. It helps you from scrolling or getting in conversations and text or answering emails or doing things that aren't necessarily of utmost importance, and helps keep you on pace to the things that you need to be doing. In your control is the efficiency of your time and the time that you are putting in. When you feel in control in your life and in your business, a lot less excuses will creep in. One of our other controllables is going to be how we feel. How we feel is dictated by how we take care of ourselves. If we aren't pouring into ourselves, it's going to be very hard for us to pour into our business, into others in the most tip-top way. Your energy is everything. What creates energy? Health creates energy. Going to the gym, going to Pilates, going to yoga, whatever it is of your choice, doing something to move your body in the early morning is definitely going to help your energy levels, which is also going to help you feel more positive, which is going to help you be able to take action now. Something that helped me with this when I was going through that 2021 moment of just not feeling my best is I started booking 7 a.m. Pilates classes, and it would force me to get out of bed at 6 a.m., get ready, get out the door, and make sure that I was at that class. And then I was able to start my day. I'd already moved my body. I already had some energy, and I could move into the other things that I needed to do because I had started with immediate action. When you feel good about your appearance, when you look your best, when you brush your hair, you start your day right, that confidence is going to relay in your business and your outputs and your conversations, and it's going to inspire you to move faster and more efficiently towards your goals. When you feel good, you're going to do good. Those are the five things that are really going to help you get back into the momentum. Momentum is one of the hardest things to gain, but the easiest to lose. You take a 2 or 3 day break, and it doesn't matter what it is that you're doing, what goal it is going to be so hard to get back to where you were. 2 or 3 day vacation can be the complete death of your momentum. And it's important for you to take those vacations. It's crucial for you to make sure you're planning ahead, for you to understand the feelings that come with that vacation when you come back, and the potential loss of that tiny bit of momentum or a lot of bit of a momentum, depending on where your business is after that 3 day period. The action is the only thing that is going to cure the feeling. Volume cures everything. And to circle all the way back to the peaks and valleys that are inevitable in our businesses and our lives, have gratitude for the lows in those moments. When you're taking the time to reflect and to wallow, when you're making out that list, when you're taking those actions, make sure you're adding in the gratitude for it too, because those are going to be the teachers of what not to do or what to do better. The failure is crucial. We fail so we can learn, so we can succeed. I'm going to just throw that in there. And the comeback is always going to be greater than the setback, if you keep going. But if you bounce around, if you quit, if you take these breaks, you're never going to have actual momentum and get to the very top, because you're just going to keep pushing yourself backwards and self-sabotaging. And if you're doing that, then you need to go back to episode 1, episode 2 to figure out what fear is stopping you. A question that I've been asked is, how do I know if I need to be resilient or if something is no longer right for me. I just keep failing at something. How do I know this just isn't for me? And really, you are the only person that has that answer within you. However, I think a lot of the times the mind will do anything, like I said in the beginning of the episode, to justify why we are failing. It doesn't want you to be accountable. But if you fall on the sword every time you fail, that accountability is going to give you so much growth. And there's been times and opportunities that I have had that I have wanted to quit. And I've talked to my life coach about I'm having these feelings. And she's told me, you are in a state of emotion. Wait, let's circle back to this. When things are less emotional for you, let's talk about this in 30 to 60 days and see how you're feeling. Just keep putting in the inputs. Just keep doing what you need to do. And let's come back in 30 to 60 days. And every single time I have been there, the 30 to 60 days forward, I'm like, never mind. Things are going great. I've been putting in the inputs. I don't know what I was thinking. And so when you have those moments of doubt, it's okay to have those moments. And it's okay to wonder, maybe this isn't for me anymore. But don't quit on yourself too soon. Give yourself time and figure out also, is there something within me that needs to be worked on that is holding me back? And while I'm working on these, what inputs can I do simultaneously? You don't need to work on those self-sabotaging behaviors and then come back to the opportunity, because then you're just going to go on a downward slide and setback. Just keep with your consistency while also taking the time to do the work within to understand, is there something within me that is holding me back, a fear of success, fear of whatever it may be, that I keep finding myself in this position to have to continue to be resilient. But also with that being said, a business shouldn't be about a destination, how long until I can get there. The question should be, how far can it go? And when the question is, how far can my business go? This is, again, not just about you and your success. It's about your significance. And when it's about how far can I take it, how far can it go, your significance, how much impact can I make? It's not about you. It's about something greater than you. And now that resiliency is just natural because you know there is a higher purpose and we're just going to keep going. The tangibles I want to leave you with. Number one, you have to have your why somewhere visual. If you don't have your why somewhere visual, it's going to be very hard to continue to stay resilient on the path to where you're going. In the process of making this podcast, I was very in my ego many, many times, unintentionally thinking, what if I make a mistake? What if I say something wrong? What if I hurt someone's feelings unintentionally? What if I say something absent-minded or I don't think a thought all the way through? What if I offend somebody? And all of that was about me versus being about a greater purpose of getting this message to the people that need to hear it. And my life coach helped remind me of that. And so I spent time really diving into the depths of my why. I already had my why laid out. I had it in my head, but I wrote it down on a whiteboard, and I had that whiteboard in my living room where anytime I was having a moment of doubt, anytime I was feeling like a cringe because I didn't like how my voice sounded, or I would listen back to an episode that was already published and I was realizing, dang, I wish I would have actually thrown this thought in there after, and I would have this moment of, ugh, I would just come back to my why. There's a greater purpose to where I'm going. Just keep going. Be resilient. And if you aren't super clear on your why, I want to invite you to utilize your resources, whether it's the resources within your team, your businesses, whatever you have. But I've also provided you resources. In the show notes, you're going to find workbooks that you can use. And I haven't thoroughly explained these in previous episodes, but these workbooks are pretty serious. There's one for fears. There's one for identifying your beliefs and values. And then there's one for getting clarity on your purpose, on your why. And these workbooks, they are the real deal. They are about 31 pages each. They have journal prompts in them, and they have questions for you to ask yourself in order to identify what is within you. All of the answers are already within you, but sometimes it just takes a question to really pull that out. So use your resources and then have that why once you know it, if you don't know it already, somewhere visual. It can be on your phone. I use Canva and I will collect little Pinterest photos and I will make a vision board on the background of my phone. or it can be a actual vision board that you cut stuff out of a magazine, or you can just type out the list of your why or write down the full paragraph of what your why is, type it out, tape it to your wall, frame it. It doesn't matter. Or you can put it on your dashboard in your car, or you can put it all of these places. But the more places that you can see your goals, the more places that you can see your why and you have your reminder of your greater purpose, the easier it's going to be for you to be resilient. So number one, make sure your purpose, your why is visual in your pursuits. Number two is going to be to remember the 5-4-3-2-1 method. To remember the Tony Robbins method, where if we change our physiology, we change our state, or to remember the method of setting alarms, where you just have that 25-minute alarm. I'm just going to do whatever this task is to get me into action for 25 minutes, and then I can break. Then I can do whatever else that I want to do. Number three tangible is asking yourself, how can I fall on the sword? How can I make sure in every situation, every dip, every moment of feeling lost or feeling like something didn't go my way, or where I found myself thinking about an outcome, how can I scan the situation and be humble enough to find where you can take the lesson? What is seeking to emerge here? Where can I grow from whatever just took place? And then number four, remember, is going to be make sure you are immediately identifying and doing a scan of your businesses and everything that you have going on. Where can I collect dopamine by gamifying my outputs instead of thinking so much and hoping towards my outcomes? How can I really focus on my controllables versus what's outside of my control? And think about where you can track those conversions, write that down, and immediately start to begin tracking them if you aren't doing that already. That is a wrap on episode 4, resilience. My friend, keep going. When you keep going, you will win. The only way to not get to the top is if you stop. So keep pushing all of those hard moments. You are strong. You are capable. You are resilient. And you just did the work yet again. And I'm so proud of you. Thank you for being here today. Please tag us at the Dopamine Pursuit Podcast on Instagram. If you haven't already, please leave us a review. You get such a fulfilling hit of dopamine when you leave us a 5-star review and write us a little something, something. I hope you have an amazing, resilient day, resilient week, resilient life. And I will talk to you on the next episode. My name is Krista Slonicki, and this is the Dopamine Pursuit Podcast.